lady sitting back.
We're up to Parak Zayin. So when we left off, the story was that Esther had Haman and Achashverosh for a suda. Afterwards, Achashverosh goes home that night, can't fall asleep. He tries to figure out what's going on. It's story time. He hears about that there was this fellow Mordechai who helped him out. We discussed why he was so interested in it last week. And ultimately what happens is Haman shows up at just the right or wrong time, depending on whose version you're looking at. And he said, what should we do on behalf of the fellow who I really, really like? Haman thinks, who could he possibly like more than me? And in fact, he guessed wrong on that. And with that, the Haman is forced to walk through the streets with Mordechai on the royal horse, wearing the royal vestments, and to say, you know, here's, this is what we should do to someone who the king really, really likes. He comes home, tells his wife what happened, and she said, you're in big trouble now, because if this Mordechai guy is Jewish, you don't have a chance. But before we get to move on, right away, here's what happens. Parak Zayin Pasuk Aleph, page 38 in the Art School 5 Megillah edition. So Haman, the king, and Haman come once again to have drinks together with Esther. It's interesting, the first time they have a suda, it doesn't say that they ate together. And some of Farshim point out, because if you remember at the time, Esther was fasting. So because of that, obviously they couldn't be eaten together. However, at this point, now that the three-day fast is over, Esther is able to eat and drink with them. So again, in the second day, he says, Esther, what can I do for you? Up until half of the kingdom I will give to you. If you compare that to the pasuk to last time, to Prakim ago, which is number one on your sheet, so let's compare. Vayomar Melcho Esther b'mishter yai Masheh Rasech v'yinasein lach u'malba kashasech ad chatzi hamalchus v'seyos. What's the difference between the two of them? Esther Hamalka, correct. He adds the word Esther Hamalka. It seems that at this point he's feeling closer to her than he was previously. He actually refers to her as Esther Hamalka. He treats her with greater respect. Interestingly, we may not remember because that parak was around a year ago, but the Targum Yonasan spells out what he spelled out before. He says, "V'omer Malka LaEsther, the king said Esther, Of b'yoma tinyona b'mishtaya, on the second day of the mishtaya, the mishtaya the chamra, when they were drinking wine. Ma she'alteich Esther Malchusa, v'yahiv lach, ma ba'useich afila ad palgu machusa et nenolech." So that's pretty much a straight translation. But then afterwards it goes on. I'll do you anything with the exception of I will not build the Beis HaMikdash for you. That is within the borders of my kingdom. I have previously sworn that I would not allow the Jews to build the Beis HaMikdash. Don't worry about it, but as soon as your son Darius takes over, then you'll be able to build the Beis HaMikdash. So again, harkening back to last year.
So he knows she's a Jew?
Yeah, that's
a very strange one.
Yeah.
Very strange.
I think he doesn't know. How would he know to say
right,
that?
Right, so yeah, this is an odd comment in the Targum.
Yes, very.
Because not only is it odd that he says that about Daryavish, but also, why would he think that she wants the Beis HaMikdash?
Correct.
Like, why in the world? Again, the fact that your son Daryavish will allow us, he says, I swear I can't, but your son will be allowed to.
And who's Daryavish? The son with him?
Yes. That is the tradition of the Gemara, that they had that the next king was actually the son of Esther, and he is the one who allows them to build the Beis HaMikdash.
He allows them to go back to it.
Well, they were back already. They went back previously. We discussed this way back in the day. They went back previously. They started the construction, but they had to stop the construction. Right, so he was the one who's ultimately going to allow them to restart and complete the construction.
So can you say something about this in terms of his knowing she's a Jew?
So again, one would have to say that he was saying this despite the fact, meaning that he said, I am the king, I can do whatever I want, but there's just one thing I'm bound to.
He's just saying that.
Right. Now there's one thing I'm bound to, that I've previously sworn that this is beyond what I can do. However, if that's in fact what you're interested in, you're going to have to wait a little bit.
Why would she be interested in
that? Well, again, he doesn't know what she's interested in at this point. Remember, this is where here we are. We're going around. It's the second time. You know, what do you want to do? I want to have a meal with you. A little strange.
Can I ask again?
Yes.
It looks like the second time he says Queen Esther and the first time he doesn't.
Correct.
So I don't understand how he feels closer to her by calling her queen.
What?
It's more endearing.
It's more what?
It's more endearing. It's more of the...
It's
two days.
It's been a busy 2 days. There's been a lot going on.
Everybody assumes that she did have a child with a husband. All the commentaries.
Everybody. The Gemara says that. That's that's an assumption. The question, however, is historians aren't so comfortable with it. Rabbi Menachem Liebtech has a very big piece on this if someone's interested. My wife spent a lot of time on it this year. That interested her greatly. So we can discuss it with her. But again, our chronology, meaning the Talmudic chronology and the chronology of the historians are off. Right? We have a different amount of kings. We have a different order. It's different. So, but it's beyond the scope of this year today, so we will leave it at that.
So Batan. Is there a commentary that said they had it, or
what?
Specifically, does it say?
It says it flat out that the king who allowed the Jews to rebuild the second base of Migdash was the son of Achashverosh and Esther. I believe it's a Gemara.
I don't mean to beat a dead horse,
but
I'm confused by this comment about queen, even though you say it's more, it feels more formal to me, less personal. I understand what his position is, but
I don't know. Show of hands, how many people think it's nice to be called queen?
Well, the longer he lives with her, the more he admires her.
Queen is
puts her
right
on a higher pedestal.
Mordecai is doing the commenting here, so I think we have to give a little bit of credit to the reporter. And
okay.
This is what he heard.
So
it sounds more formal to me.
Okay, formal is not bad. Here we go. Vatan Esther Hamalka Vatomer Imatzasi Chem Beinecha Hamelach Vimar Hamelach Tov Tinosin Rimavshi BeSheirasi VaAmi BeVakoshasi. Here she finally says it. He says, "If the event that you really care about me, I want you to go and give me my nation." Give me my life, I'm asking for, and also give me my nation. Now the word melech is repeated twice, right? V'tan eser malko v'tomer im matzosichem beinecha hamelech im hara melech tov. Why does it say hamelech? So that is what the Targum says. The Targum says v'zakav Esther yos eino kape shmaya, and Esther looked up to the heavens. V'asivus Esther machus avroma. In Eshkachis Rachvin Kadomach Malcha Rama, in the event that you, the King on Heaven, have mercy upon me, then Kadom Malcha Darashapir, then you can convince the King of the world, of the earth, that will be good. So again, we've discussed this throughout Esther, the word Melech oftentimes refers to God, because the word Hashem never appears in Esther. So therefore, the word double use of the word melech is taken to mean that one, I'm saying that if she turns to Hashem, it says, if Hashem wants it, if I have found favor in your eyes, God, and you can convince this guy to do right, then in fact there is what to talk about. כי נמכרנו אני ועמי להשמיד להרוג ולאבד. ואילו עבדים ושפחות נמכרנו החרשתי, כי אין הצור שובר ונזק המלך. So now she makes a strange comment. Why? Because me and my nation, we were sold in order to be wiped out, killed, and destroyed. Had we only been sold as slaves and maidservants, I would have been quiet because I wouldn't feel that it would be worth bothering the king for that.
That's what?
So that is what it says. So the question is, wait a second, what's she talking about?
Right?
This was a possibility? Like, they could have been sold for slaves, but instead... So, what is she trying to get out here? So, one of the Hasidic Rebbe's, the Abdur Rav, wrote a sefer called the Ohev Yisrael. A nice name for a book. And at the very, very end of it, the very last piece, discusses this very question. Batan Esther, etc. Tinasa li nafshi, etc. Ki nimkarnu lahashmid. V'ilu avon moshvachas nimkarnu lacharashdi. V'yomar melech ha-chasheros. Mi hu zeh, etc. Asher mel ribu lasos came. V'nei kasha. So the only time, ha-lashem nimkarnu. Shamar Esther. If we were just sold. Ki heich shech lashem bechira. Eitzel harigre. We were sold to be... What, you were sold to be killed? How does that make sense? It's not that we were sold to be killed, right? There has been a decree that we should be killed. It would be more proper. And why does she add that if we were sold as slaves, I would have been quiet? No one ever mentioned this as a possibility. It wasn't like they were supposed to be sold and now they're actually going to be killed. No, that was never even on the option, among the options. But Ma'am Achashverus Mihuzeh. And what's Achashverus saying? Who's doing this? Who did it? What? Haman. But how did Haman do it? Achashverus gave over his ring, his signet ring, to sign off on this. So how could Achashverus suddenly be playing dumb?
She didn't know she was a Jew. That
we're what?
Now
he does.
Still, he did. I don't think he. Yeah, but she said my nation. He still doesn't know what nation, and therefore he doesn't know who's killing them.
Okay,
well,
that's a possibility, right?
How many nations is he killing out
here?
Well, I don't know. He's a king.
I accept that as a reasonable answer, but there seems that Abdur Rav had a different answer. Hello, Allahu Ba'atzma Chosim. Alagazera, Kamo Shamar Hakosav, he kosav b'shem ha-melech. So Kain Hitcha Admar ha-Rav ha-Kadosh. So he goes and I leave out here, there's a story. What's the story? He quotes from Shri Ragon, some crazy story that there once was a man who owned a Sefer Torah that was written by Ezra HaSofer. The guy was fabulously wealthy, and the most valuable of all of his objects was a Sefer Torah that goes back to Ezra HaSofer. And the person passes away and leaves two sons. And there's a big fight over who's going to get the Sefer Torah. And eventually they go to a Beis Din, and the agreement is this kid gets the Sefer Torah, and that guy gets an large amount of money to make up for it. The guy who merely got the money was very upset about it. And someone else found out about it, so that somebody turned around and decided that he was going to do something about it. So he snuck into the shul where the Sefer Torah is kept. Oh, you read the story?
Is that really what happened?
No.
So I was just going for a Solomon story.
So it says, I believe the pasuk is Va'avaditem Mehera. In Shema, what does that mean? What does Va'avaditem mean?
I will what?
Right. With an aleph, right? Va'avaditem mehera, I will quickly eliminate them, right? And he went and he switched the aleph to an ayin. Right. So a few weeks later, they get to the parsha, they see it, that there's a whole to do, and eventually the father comes to the son in a dream, and he tells him what happened. It's a long, complex story, etc. It tells him not to fix it because Ezra HaSofer himself eventually will come and fix it. We left that out.
But
how does this relate?
Now we'll find out.
Okay.
Savarut bevakasha. So again, Atayz Apsukim Anal Ki Haman Arasha Asa Gam Kain. Haman did the same thing. What was that? Kadavar Zehainu Mitchil Kasher Bar Lifnei Amelach Lo Gil Ratochen Kavanaso Hara. Right, when Haman went to Achashverosh, he didn't tell him the whole story. Rak Amar Shuritzono Liknos Es Yehudim Ra'avod Behem. He said, "I'd like to purchase all the Jews to be my slaves." And for that, I will pay 10,000 kikarim of silver. Because of Ashtar Mechira, al Lashon HaKodesh. And he wrote out the agreement in Hebrew. Le'avdam. What does Le'avdam mean? With an ayin? That they will work for me. V'hamelach HaChashverosh chosav al zeb. V'achar kach osa haman harasha b'yirishosu machuk es ha'ayin v'kosav alf b'mkomam. That Haman went and said, La'avdam with an aleph, that I will make them work. He wrote La'avdam with an ayin, he wrote it with an aleph to destroy them.
Like,
so,
how would Esther have known?
What?
How would Esther have known?
Yeah, what?
That
so again, Mordechai knew an awful lot. Right? Mordechai seemed to know everything that was going on. So the assumption is that she got the info from Mordechai.
Also,
maybe as a queen, she could see it.
Just by the by, Haman doesn't name the Jews. He says a certain people.
Right.
So, again, it feels like everybody knows it's the Jews at this point, but that's not really what...
It's always the Jews.
Yes, I'm aware of that. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm just saying...
Thank you for the anti-Semitic comment of the morning of the day.
I'm just saying, why is it now...
Let's finish it.
Okay.
Kasher ro sofer melech hashtar mechira shayin nichtav avdam oz kosvu hei bevirsh adolash mi larogos la'abed. Right. And then there it says eskol ha-yehudim, I think is the next word. V'zehu she'amra Esther ve'ilu avad v'shvachas nimkarnu. So she's saying, listen, Achashverosh, the fact that you sold us, no bad feelings. It could happen. It could happen. Listen, nobody's perfect. I wouldn't have complained about that. What you did isn't so bad. But this other guy who changed it, he said, Hainu kasher amal lefanech b'tchil hecharashti. V'chein kos ha-melech ha-chashresho mihu zeh ve'ezehu ashe milo ribo la'asos kein. So he gets very upset. He said, who did this? Pius ki ani lo macharti osa melo avadim. I never did this thing. Yes.
With an ayin, would be, to kill, to destroy them, and to have them work for me.
No, but again, but he says as follows. There was a small thing, he said, la'avdam, in Hebrew, which Haman changed la'abdam, which got translated.
No, so when they wrote it up in full, he wrote a quick note, okay, write up the letter, send it up
a commission. Based on la'avdam, they had la'hashmig la'harav, it's the same thing. So in fact, that's what she says. Listen, I want to complain if that's all what it was, and merely that, what you said. Because again, you think about it, this is a little bit of a tricky situation, because Achashverosh was party to this. It wasn't the matter that he'd been duped.
Right.
But Achashverosh himself had agreed to this. Now, she's begging, please kill Haman for what he did, knowing full well that Achashverosh did the same thing.
She's begging for Haman's death?
Well, again, she's begging to get this overturned.
That I understand.
Right, but again, if she turns around and says, because you're a bad person, that's probably a loser argument.
No, she's not going to do that. It just...
What?
It just feels like it's stretching, the commentary is stretching it.
Yeah.
A lot. That's all.
It's not push up shot. I'll give you that one.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
I don't think the
I feel a little bit.
I don't think the Abdurov was looking for Pasha Pasha. So that's what she says. Vayoma HaMelech HaChashverosh Vayoma Esther HaMalka Mihu Zeh Ve'ezer Hu Ashebo Ribo La'asos Kein. Who would do such a thing? So, again, it's a good question. He probably should know.
Right. He seems like he's not paying attention.
So it says the word Vayomer twice. So
the Gemara comments, Vayomer Melech Achshverosh, Vayomer Esther Malka, Vayomer Vayomer Amalei. So if you ask me, I think, what's Pshash Pshat? Anyone want to take a gander? Why does it say Vayomer twice?
Every time Ahasuerus
spoke after he spoke, through a messenger. Oh, so that's not pshat. That's drash, as we discussed. Right. I think that this is one of the times it's an attempt to show that he was shocked by it. Right. You get the impression of him being okay. I think is probably push pshat. The Gemara says the Gemara follows the opinion of Jenny. It says, "Vayomer Hamelch Aviyotz Vayomer Esther Malka Vayomer Vayomer Lamali." Why does it say Vayomer Shvatz? Amar Vavol Betchila Ayde Torgeman Came to Amalei Mid the Base Shaul Kaasina Miyad Vayomer Esther Hamalka. So when he found out that she's a descendant of Shaul, the monarchy, so then that changed things. Originally, he would not speak to her directly; he would speak to her through a Torgeman. Which is, sometimes I like to do that with my wife sometimes.
TMI.
Yeah, I guess if you're king, it's different.
Really?
He was actually king of the castle, unlike...
Kingdom.
What? Unlike Ralph Cramden. That was our
I
mean, okay. Well, you don't want to miss something like that, do you? Okay. Right, so originally he would when he realized that she too had her own yichus. So that's standard. That's what the Gemara says. It's interesting. The Medrash says the exact opposite. If you look at the Medrash in Eicha, it says Vayomer Hamelch Achashverosh Vayomer LeEsther Malka Mahu Vayomer Vayomer Sheipamim Amar Rav Amar Belozer Ad Shelo Hirgish Ba Shehi Yehudis Hayim Medabi Imer Befarhesia. Before he found she was Jewish, he would speak to her regularly. Came she hears, but she Yehudis. When he realized, wait a second, she's Jewish. I'm not talking to her. He went through an intermediary to talk to her.
That doesn't sound so intimate.
Right, it was more intimate beforehand.
Yes, before it was more intimate.
Right, so it's interesting. So you get different midrashim, but it's very rare they get a midrash that's 180 like that. Yeah. Right. They both agreed on something to do whether he would agree to speak to her directly or not. According to the first one, beforehand yes and now no. The other one beforehand no and now yes. So there's a sefer that I like very much on Esther called the Mishpat Zav. It's a nice fellow. I actually called him one time. I told him, I like your svarim so much. It's a Hasidish Jew who lives in Givat Shaul. Remember one time as these books were coming out, I was up to learning Malachim. So I picked up the phone and I called him and I said, when's the book going to be ready? I liked him.
Who is this?
What? The author is a guy named Weiss. He lives in Givat Shaul. I've never met him, but I've met people who know him. And from his writing, you can tell he's a very wonderful person. And I remember at the time, I said, I'm going to buy your book no matter what. He just emailed me the... don't worry about it. I'm not going to publish it. I'm good.
just tell me what you said.
So he has a work on Esther, which I enjoy very much. So he has a very interesting point here. He said, how can you live with these two Ma'amari Chazal? On the one hand, the Gemara says, all of a sudden he feels greater respect for her because she's from the monarchy. And on this other hand, all of a sudden he feels less respect for her because it's always the Jews. That's what it comes down to. So, he says as follows, V'bir shnei adeos b'machok hazeh bein divrei Chazal niru roba sheb'emes b'mash shenodol achashveres yilchusa shel Esther. Right? When he found out what's going on, this had its upsides and downsides. The fact that she's Jewish, that was not a big plus for him. On the other hand, what did he think beforehand? She wasn't telling him where she came from. But she was just some kid who was abandoned at a doorstep. So she's at least a member of a nation, not the nation I would have chosen. Right? She comes from a family from the monarchy of kings. Second, I said, Kol kach ratzo radastis, I was one, he's been asking, where are you from? Finally, now I know. Me'idach yisarin shes baro shehi hysteri menu as masha ratzo radas. V'shikri masha lo, v'nei ken shehi ba'asva enu yadastis yichusa. On the other hand, she knew it all the time. She was lying to me. So, you know, this information really is greeted with kind of mixed emotions. So why did Achashverosh hate the Jews so much? So the Rebbe of Yonis and Eifshitz in his Yaros Devash explains, because he was told from his people, that his wizards that saw the future, that ultimately a Jew will take his throne after him. So the way someone takes your throne after you is usually not in a way that there were limits and his time came up, you know. It was something different. So obviously if the Jews are going to rebel and throw me out, they're no friend
of
mine.
You never think about having a Jewish son.
Right, but now, wait a second. They said, I'm getting rid of them. No one's going to rebel against me. Yeah, there's a Jew, but he's my son. This piece of information changes everything. Why did he want to wipe out? Why was he part of this Haman's plan? Because he didn't like the Jews. Why did he like the Jews? Because he knew that a Jew would take over for him. But therefore, that meant in his mind they had to be people that would rebel against him. But now he finds out, wait a second, if the queen is Jewish, we have.
So in other words, what?
Right. So that's why you get this. On the one hand, the Gemara indicates that all of a sudden he's happy, and the Medrash indicates all of a sudden he's not happy. Because really, there's a lot of emotions are flowing through Achashverosh at this point.
At least he has to be conscious, though.
What?
At least he doesn't want to kill his own. Like, unfortunately, today, look what's going on. Like, they're okay if they come in.
Right, but you know, this is assuming he's under the impression that he will die at some point. So, who more than his son does he want to take over?
Right?
Sure.
That's very good what you said, but I don't understand the Vayomer and the Vayomers before she told him who she actually is, because, you know, then it says a few seconds later that then Esther told him all about herself and who she was or whatever. How do you know that at that Vayomer, that she said that?
Well, again, as was pointed out, who else is he wiping out besides the Jews at this point?
No, he didn't know that.
He didn't know that.
He said he was supposed to sell him. That's what
he's... No, but he knows that's not happening yet. He said, you know, if you wanted to sell them, that would be okay, but they're actually going to be wiped out. And he says, wait a second, wipe them out? I never said that. Right, so clearly he knows we're talking about the Jews at this point. And she said, this is my nation. It's not a great leap of intellect to figure out that Esther is Jewish and therefore his son is Jewish.
So. When is tobacco? Because my knowledge regarding tobacco history is that Achashverosh is not necessarily so much the royal, but Vashti is really the one who brought the royalty into his life.
Correct.
Okay.
So
he's a one-term guy.
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. Once he's got it, he's got it.
Once he's got it,
he's got it. Once you got it, you got it. We discussed this way back. We have to remember we had an introduction at the time. We spoke about the relationship between Paras and Madai. This was a time that there was a joint rulership of the Persians and the Medes. Right? So this was kind of bouncing back and forth. But this is the best news ever. That my son is going to be the next king. That's exactly what I was hoping for.
What was the purpose of saying my nation as a, to slowly let it sink in versus just saying I'm a Jew?
Well, again, you know, I guess obviously building up the drama was a big part of this for her, right? You know, the one meal, the second meal, you know, right. Having Haman there, you know, the intrigue involved in it. So it does fit in with it, I think. But Vavatoma Esther, Ish Tsarva Yev, Haman Hara Hazer, Vaharman Nevas Rufneya Melcha Malka. He said, who did it? He said, that guy, Haman, that good for nothing. And he is very taken aback by this. The, take a look at the Maharal has a sefer called Or Chadash. And has a nice long piece on Purim in it. He says as follows, Masha Omer, Mihu Zeh, Ve'ein Zeh Hu. V'chi Ro Yada Achashvesh Ba'ashma Kehemon Asa? Wait a second. Why is he asking? Isn't it obvious to him? He knows who he told to make Avadim, right? He knows what. He knows who's been pushing to wipe out the Jews. He said, I told him, yeah, I would agree to the idea. But I assumed he would check in with me before he actually did it. Theoretically, I was supportive.
He seems very negligent.
Again,
he's
Right. This is one of the two opinions.
Hands on.
Who gave him the right to do this by himself? So he says, so he turns around and says, sell.
Exactly.
So the.
It's fascinating.
Now, Esther, it's interesting. When she says it, she says, she said, Aniva Ami, me and my nation. Now, that's an odd way of saying it. If she would just leave out the word Ani and said Ami, clearly she is part of Ami. So why the emphasis on me and my nation? So he has an interesting idea, which a lot of people pick up on, and says that basically she really had to get Ahasuerus riled up to get him to change his mind. So he said, why say that? Ki haya kavanas haman alai. Why did he do this? He wants to kill them all. Why? Because he wants me dead. If he just hated them, why wasn't he happy with them being avadim? Clearly, he wants people dead, and that person, he's killing them all to cover up the fact that he wants to kill me. Remember, this is the same guy who killed your last wife. Right? Who is the person who advised that Vashti be killed? Memuchan, and we said Memuchan is another name for Haman. So he says, you know, he killed off your last wife. He wants, the whole reason for this is he really wants to kill me. And why does he want to do that? But David said, if it was just Avadim, that wouldn't have killed me. He said, do whatever you think is best. Clearly, he thought it would be best to kill me.
Why?
Who wants to kill you? So why does he want her dead?
Right.
So the Targum Yonason in the beginning of the fifth parak tells us the following story. Haman Rishia Mani Hichma the Avad Man Vashti Videshem Tam Amalka. Haman, the evil Haman, he was the one who goes and got Vashti killed off. Why did he want to kill her? Because he wanted a shidduch for his daughter. Now, that's a good father.
Who
So in fact, he arranged the whole thing that they would have to find a new queen, and he got his daughter set there in the first position.
So he's going to try again.
Right? What happened was, unfortunately, she developed from heaven, they gave her stomach issues and bad breath, and she was quickly removed from the
competition.
From the competition. She was voted off the island quite quickly.
So he's trying this again.
Right. He's trying this again. Why is he trying it again? Because
she
Because he ultimately wants to be the king. He wants it in his family.
Isn't she dead?
What?
Did she jump off the roof?
Why are you assuming if he had ten sons and one daughter? What? Yeah, there's no reason to believe that was his only daughter who was dead. So she's making the argument. He's doing what he's trying to get by killing me. He wants to get his daughter in, just like he killed Vashti. And ultimately, he's pushing you out. That, of course, is Ahasuerus's greatest fear. Ahasuerus' palace coup is the great. And remember, we discussed this last week. For those of us who braved the rain to come last week, right? We discussed last week the idea that she's putting in the Gavriel was putting in the ideas in his head that look at this, you know, Mordechai, who saved you, he's being knocked off by Haman, right? Haman is opposed to it. Haman's going to when he comes forward. He's going to assume that he's the next in line. So this is the same idea. When she gets up, he says, just like he killed your last wife, he's trying to kill your this wife, because ultimately he wants in. King's got a lot to think about. He said, I need a little fresh air. I'm going to head out to the garden. I'm going to get myself a little fresh air. I got to put this together. I got to get my head straight.
Why is he leaving her to kill her?
What?
Why is he leaving her with someone who wants to kill her?
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens with that.
Drama.
Right? So he walks out and he says, I'm going to go to the royal garden. The royal garden's there? So believe it or not, that happens to be a very big part of Persian palaces. We give here from the Met had the Cyrus Cylinder. Cyrus Cylinder is an amazing archaeological find. Right? The Cyrus Cylinder is a cylinder written in cuneiform, which gives the history of King Cyrus. It's one of very few cylinders that exist. There's also the Sancheirif Cylinder, which really matches very nicely.
Those big,
they're not that big.
They're not big? I thought
they were this big.
Oh.
That's it.
And they're made of clay or porcelain? Or
correct. They're made of clay, and they are the histories of the king. So when the Cyrus Cylinder came to the Met, Metropolitan Museum in New York, right, at the time they had an entire exhibit over it. And just, I gave you a little piece of it. They said, the Cyrus Cylinder of ancient Persian China New Empire. It was there 3 years ago. Explore innovations established by the Persians to rule over the largest empire the world had known. That of the Persian Achaemenids. The famous royal garden of Parsigate, the founding capital of the first world emperor, is another example of the imperial innovation explored in this exhibit. So they introduced these ideas. That would be probably the Ginas Habisan, right? This is, of course, a major part of the palace that they had. That they really haven't found any of this in Shushan, in all honesty. But in Parsigate, which is the palace of Koresh, what they call Cyrus, they have found a full irrigation system in order to support a very large garden. So he says, I'm going to have to walk out and try to figure this out. So what does Haman do? So Haman goes and he turns to Esther to beg for his life. Why does he do that? Very interesting comment. So, Esther is, we just said, Esther is descendant of?
Shaul.
Haman is a descendant of? Haman Ha-Agagi. Who was Agag? The king of Amalek. What happened with the king of Amalek?
He was killed by Shmuel after Shaul kept him alive.
Shaul
saved him.
Why did Shaul save him? He begged for mercy. So Haman realizes her Elta Zayda.
Let's try this.
Right? Her Rachmanis Hamayna Elta Zayda. Right? I think let's take a shot at it. So that he said, so the Mishmar Zav says that's exactly what's going on here, right? He turns to instead of, he's got a choice. He can beg with Esther, or he can beg with Ahasuerus. And logically, you should beg with Ahasuerus because, hey, buddy, we've been partners for all these years. Why should you turn to him? She figures, looking at number 11, Haman Yoda Shirachim Yuchel Ora Rak Eitzel Esther Hamalka. Only Esther will have mercy. Shashayachus La'am Yisrael Shem Rachmanim Baishanim Gomei Chasadim. We see that there are three character traits that Jews are known by, and number one on the list is they're Rachmanim, they're merciful. V'asher L'hosif She'itom Shaman Kiva La'orer Rachamel Kamosha Zikna Sha'ul Hamelach Chom Al-Agav Zikeno. Interesting, it comes back down to that. V'ulai Kiva Chetizkar Losha B'zchusa Hi Malka Shrehu Yatz La'argas Vashti. Hey, sweetheart, remember, if it wouldn't be for me, you wouldn't be queen. I killed the last queen. If I would have done that, you'd be a nothing now. So he figures he's got some arguments here. We need cause of fortune to come and talk about Masha Hifnes by Kosher's Rachem Kape Estev Lo Panel Melach. She had Melach here by Emes Bedas Achasimo. Had he gone to Achashver, she probably would have had a good chance, because Achashver still was an anti-Semite at the end of the day. So he's at this point, he realizes the party's over. Why is he so sure the party's over? So the Brisker Rav has a little piece, which is interesting. We decided to put it down. Mi huzev ezehu, ashemilo libo lasos, v'haman, ki ra ki kosel av hara meisamel. Tzach bir, heichan ra ki kosel av hara. How did he realize that the decision was made? V'nir mebir, ezehu, hu ayehu. He said, where is this guy? When he says, where is this guy, he's saying, you give it to me and I'm going to kill him right now. So that's when he realized he's already made a decision. Whoever this guy is toast. He was looking for him to wipe him out. All right. So he comes back. He said, and now, what are you going to do? You're going to go and conquer the queen with me around? And with that, Haman knew the jig was up. Party was over. The Gemara, the Medrash, is well known. We'll just read it in Tanya. It says, the king came back. Why does it say that the king went and came and went? He was still angry when he came back. What did he see? This is, of course, very midrashic. He saw that there were angels out there that looked like people that were uprooting his trees in his garden. Well, this has been a bad day. What are you doing there? We're doing what Haman told us to do. Also, based on Haman, no fell, which is he's falling, no fell, she said he fell. Me boy lay. He was pushed on him. Amar, vaymi basin, vaymi mibara. He said, ugh, what's going on inside? What's going on outside? Achashverosh says, this is just not happening. Usually, you know, as we go through these parakim, I try to keep to a general, you know, different midrashim that stay within the pshat. Sometimes I just feel an overwhelming need to bring in an angle that's really not what I'm used to, but just to introduce it to be fair. So we did a little chassidus before with the Olei of Yisrael, which, you know, we said was not pashup pshat. If that wasn't pashup pshat, you're not going to believe this one. The Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael is a well-known Hasidic master. Raises two interesting points that you would have never thought of. You still might think nothing of it afterwards. The Sefer Dvash Rafi, Hevi B'Shem Harav Chaim Vital, Zuchusu Zecher Vachet L'Chai Ha'ol Mahaba. Esther Haisa Gilgul Ya'el. V'Haman Haya Gilgul Sisera. Ayin Shav. Yesh Lefosh Ledato. Zeh Shirom Zeh Vitsumo Alai. What does he say? Fast on my behalf. Alai is the same letters as Ya'el. Hine Yesh Lomer Kmoshe Ya'el Mosres Atzvel Rabia Asura B'chadir Hatzot Tisrael. Just like Ya'el lived with a non-Jewish man in order to save us from Sisra. Kain Esther, Bas Beratzon Rabia Asura B'chadir Hatzot Yisrael. So too, Esther. Was there a question for her? Is this something to share with the rest of us?
No, just that he wasn't Jewish.
That's a question. That's my focus. That's not clear. Right? So therefore, there you have here parallelisms between the two stories. Umasha Zimna as Haman Lecha Velishtos. In fact, that Esther invites her to... Who's Yael? Is that the question?
Yeah.
Pishak of education. So, excuse me, something got stuck in my throat.
I'm asking.
Yeah, I understand.
Ask anybody who
Yael is. Fran, want to tell her?
He was the.
She was.
The general of the priesthood.
No, sister.
General of the priesthood. And Yael ran away from the war. She invited him into the tent.
Dairy
parts
to
make it
sleep,
and then she
put
the tent
pegs. Mm-hmm.
Throw his head.
Did she have another name?
No.
Yehudas. Different story.
Yehudas
that time.
Yehudas is a different story. This one's actually a Navi, as opposed to Yehudas one, which is not.
Right.
So just like Esther gives Haman to eat before taking care of him, so too Yael gives Sisera to eat right prior to taking care of him. Right? So that's what he says. So that is one. Then, that's in Zion. In Tess, shortly thereafter, he says, Ocham, it says similarly in the Dvash Rafi, that's the Sefer, I believe, by the Chidah. B'shem Medrash Eliyahu, B'shem Rav Chaim Vital again. Esther Ha'isa Gilgal Chava. Wait a second. How's that work?
Wait, who is?
Esther.
Oh, also.
Chava were in the same generation. You could have her be Gilgal.
Right, so she said, "Al titama chayv." Don't worry about the fact that this is already her second Gilgul. Ki ein binyanim geil l'stira. It's fine. Ki binyanim Gilgul yesh bechino shonos ein mispar. Yeah, it's fine. I am bekisvei maran arizal haman hayom bechinas hanachosh. She pita as chavu lechol achira asure vehevi misa laolam. Come on, ken zos hoysa etzasu b'mishter achashves hachis shor b'acholos asuros. Just like the Nachash got Esther to eat, got Chava to eat, to eat the forbidden fruit, and that led to destruction. So too, the Sudas HaChashverosh that Haman had suggested, that ultimately also led to their downfall.
The Nachash was a snake.
He's calling him a snake.
I think the Nachash was a snake. Yes.
The
Gilgal
of an
animal. Yeah. Why not? Why not? You could definitely be a Gilgal of a talking animal. That doesn't sound more strange. Right? Kamal Kane Zosai, etc. What? Right, so again, this isn't really my speed, but every so often we'll throw one in, just to.
It's interesting.
It's a different level of understanding.
Wait, when did this guy live?
Which guy?
Blessed guy.
Chaim Vital was the primary student of the Arizal.
So are we trying?
I would imagine 1700.
Probably.
But, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So. Okay. Vayomer Chavona, Echad me'asarisim lifnei amela, gam hinei ha'etz asher asa ha'mon l'mordechai, asher diber tov al ha'melech, ome b'beis ha'mon gavola chamishim ha'mah, vayomer ha'melech, toruhu alav. He says, Chavona, this guy, where do we know Chavona from?
So
Chavona is best known for being in the Shoshanas Yaakov song. Gam Charvona Zachor Latov. That's how we end. This Charvona guy, he just made the suggestion. Here it is. It's interesting.
So is that the only time he's mentioned? Just
That's it.
I don't know who he is.
He has a missionary first.
What?
How did Harbona happen to be?
He was working there. He was working the job.
I don't know who he is.
He was a Chamisarise Hamelach. He's one of the eunuchs. He worked in the worked in the palace.
Okay.
He worked in the palace. So therefore, this is all what he said. And with that, he still makes it into the song. Right? Interesting, the book that we usually quote once a week, so we haven't quoted it yet, the Rabbi Landi's Purim in the Persian Empire. So he pointed out that if you look at the actual dig of Shushan, so Shushan, the palace is on a hill, and the city is in the valley. And he said, given the height of 50 amos, you could see the gallows from the palace. So they said, that's Pshat word, Hine, here, behold. He was able to point it out to him and say, look, there it is. The Gemara doesn't like Harvona quite as much. The Gemara in number 15 says, Vayomer Harvona, Amar Belazar, Av Harvona, Rosha Bosa Eitzahaya. He was actually part of Haman's team. Came into Rosha, was Kai Matzosa Miyad Barach. When he saw that things were turning the other way, he jumped ship. He jumped ship. He saw things weren't going well in Waterloo. He said, I'm going to be on the other team now. So with that, they went and they hung him. And with that, the anger of the king died down. Who's the king? Right. So again, shachacha. It could say shacha, shachacha. The fact that a lot of people take it to mean both. Yeah, both the Melech HaChashverus and Melech HaMachim at this point were much happier now that Haman was gone.
Haman's gone, but it's kind of what happened to the whole Esther piece. Kind of.
We've got three prakim to go.
Great.
Last source is the Michtav Eliyahu of Dessler. Makes a very interesting point that he said that now that Haman is gone, let's look back at the lives and times of Haman, HaRasha, a little biography channel. He said, O Dover Nifla, Ad Hechon Dvorg Mayi, it's amazing. Shekob Ma Parosho Shel Haman Bo Lo Ayde Atzmo. Every step of his downfall, he did it to himself. Right? Goes with it. Right? Silk Vashi Shekob Ma Malchus Esther. The fact that Esther was there, well, that's because, right? Because Haman got rid of Vashti. If it wouldn't be for Haman getting rid of Vashti, right, there would have been no Esther to stop him. Kamarcha Gazal Gumar Megillah. Right? What brought Mordechai up? He said, when Achashver says, what do you think we should do with someone who I really like? Ah! Swing and a miss strike too. And ultimately, he built his own gallows. So Haman, every step along the way, did himself in. All right. And with that,